The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
This week's Parashas, Parashas Va'era, Va'edaber, Elakim, El Meshe, Va'im, Elov, Ani Hashem. Hashem came, spoke to Moshe and said, Ani Hashem. Va'era El Avram, El Yitzchok, El Yaakov, Ve'el Shadoi, Ushmi, Adonai, Le'nadati, Lohem. I have came before Avraham and Yitzchok and Yaakov, but the name, my name, was not made known to them. Rashi gives an explanation, and then he brings a second explanation from the sages. There's another explanation, also in accordance to the simplicity of the text, which the Maral Miprag brings in his Gvuras Hashem at the beginning of Perek Yud Zayin. And that is that I made myself known to Abraham, to Yitzchok and Yaakov with the name Kel Shakai, which is not the full name of the essence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Shmi Hashem le'nedati lochem. But my full name, my full essence, the Yud and the Hey and the Vav and the Hey, that name I never made known to them. But Ani Hashem, that name I have made known to you. Which means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed to Moshe Rabbeinu more of himself than he showed to any other person and to the Ovis. And this is what a Chazal say, that kol ha-nevi'im le'nistabu elabas baklariya delei me'ira. All of the prophets only prophesized with a type of prophecy which was not totally clear. It was like looking through a glass which was not 100%. Moshe misnabe be'as baklariya b'ha-me'ira. But Moshe, he saw HaKadosh Baruch Hu through a crystal clear glass, and his prophecies were crystal clear. He was Misnabe B'Shem HaMeyuchad, through HaKadosh Baruch Hu's full name. This was Moshe Rabbeinu. And this is what is meant at the end of the Sefer Torah, where it states, V'leikom Novi Eid B'Yisrael K'Moshe, that there would never be another prophet like Moshe, Asher Yado Hashem Ponim El Ponim, who knew Hashem face to face. And there is written the Yud and the Hey and the Vav and the Hey, the Hashem's full name. The entire Torah that we have is called Nevuas Moshe. That's Moshe's prophecy. And there is nothing unclear about the Torah which Moshe gave to Israel and Har Sinai. This was the strength of his prophecy. And the Gemara tells us, Ein hanovi reshai lechadesh, that if a prophet rises up in later generations and he says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu came to him and told him to tell the people such and such, there are ways, there are signs that we have to test this prophecy if it's true or not. But even if it fits into all of the signs, and even if he executes wonders, great miracles, if it contradicts Nevuas Moshe, the prophecy of Moshe Rabbeinu, the Torah, then he's a Novi Sheker. He's a false prophet. Because Hashem has already testified, Lekom Novi Od, B'Yisrael, K'Moshe. because there'll never be a prophet as great as Moshe Rabbeinu, and therefore no prophecy whatsoever can deflect or can destroy the prophecy of Moshe Rabbeinu. And it has to be this way, that we have to say that Moshe was able to see HaKadosh Baruch Hu in a fullness which was unequaled, because he brought down the entire Torah. And the Torah, Urais Kuchibrichu Varais Ochadhu, the Torah is the very essence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And it encompasses the entire world that was created before the world. And from here we have an insight that Moshe was not the common person. Because how is it possible for one individual to understand the entire Torah in its entirety? If the Torah is greater and preceded the entire creation. And it's here, from here, that the Chazal tell us that Moshe is shokul keneged shishim rabua. Moshe himself was equivalent to the 600,000 of Israel. Because the Torah encompasses all of the souls of Israel. And this was the original Am Yisrael that came out, that came from Sinai. But Moshe was equal to all of them, because he was able to be makif, to encompass the entire Torah kula. So we see that Moshe was not what is known as an ish proti, was not an individual, a single individual. He was rather an ish kloli, an all-encompassing person. And in order to rise to this height, he had to be someone that was nivdal, someone who was elevated from the physical world far more than any other individual, because the Torah is non-physical. And the reason why we cannot come to total heights or total identification with the Torah is because it's from another world. Moshe, from the fact that he was able to, this is a sign that he was more nivdal, more elevated than any other individual. And this we see, because it states Moshe Ola Lalkim, Moshe Rabbeinu went up to Hashem. He stayed in the heavens for 40 days and 40 nights. And there he said, Lechem Leachalti Umayim Leishosisi. All of that time I did not eat or I did not drink. Now, in Parshas Shmos, and these Parshas Va'eiro that we are learning, we start with the birth of Moshe Rabbeinu, and the entire Torah now, from here to the end, is Vayidaber Hashem el Moshe. Hashem speaks to Moshe. And it's the teachings of Moshe Rabbeinu. And he needed, in order to come to this, he needed a foundation that was very, very special. Kodesh Baruch Hu gave him such a foundation that he could build on that, such a binyan where he would be able to reach to such heights. This was not decreed by heaven, because he had bechira, he had free will like any other man. He could have used that for for other means also, for other purposes also. But he was given this foundation, and he used it, and he became the Moshe Rabbeinu. What I would like to do this evening is go through a few of the Chazals which speak about the beginnings of Moshe Rabbeinu. And in accordance with the teachings of the Maral and Gvuras Hashem, which bring this out, which illustrates this. We'll start in Parshas Shmos and last week's Sedra, that after Yaakov died and after Yosef died and after all of the brothers died, a new king rose up, and he became afraid of Klal Yisrael, and he started to enslave them and to afflict them. And it states in Posuk Chof Beis, Perek Aleph, Vayitzav Parei Lechol Amei Lemor. And Parei said to his entire nation, Kol HaBein HaYela Od HaYeoret HaShlichuhu. Every son that will be born should be thrown into the river. Lechol HaBas Techayun. And the daughters you can let live. Medrash brings on this posuk, Medrash Rabba Aleph Chof Beis, Omer Rabbi Yosef ben Chanina Afal Amay Gozar. Here, Pare was not only decreeing on the Hebrews, but it states by Sav Paro Lechol Amay, he decreed even on his own nation. The Loma also came. Shohi asked to Rugin. Aimrim lay Gael Yisrael nis abru mimeno imai. Veinono yodini Yisrael hu oimitsrihu. His astrologers came to him and said that on this day we have read in the stars that a mother has given birth to a baby who will grow up and redeem Israel, the Hebrews from Egypt. But we do not know if he's from Israel, if he's a Hebrew, or if he's an Egyptian. So therefore Parai said, all of the people must take their sons and throw them into the river today. Why was the decree that he should throw them into the river? So there's two explanations. One explanation was is that his astrologers said that the Messiah Israel, the one who will redeem Israel, we see he has a weakness towards water, that his downfall will be water. So therefore they thought that they could fulfill this mazel and they'll throw them into the water. They didn't realize they were reading the right signs but not interpreting them correctly. They didn't realize that it was not the water that would drown Moshe Rabbeinu, but it was the Ber Maim Nigzar Olav Gzeres Mavos, but it was with the Mei Meriva, the striking of the rock that would happen many years later, that became his downfall. This is one one interpretation. A second interpretation in the Medrash is, now they had a strategy. They said that if we destroy the Goel, the Redeemer, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will want to revenge from us, their God. But their God has already sworn that he will not revenge against the world with water. This oath he took at the time of the great flood. Therefore, we are safe if we throw him into the water. But what they didn't understand was that HaKadosh Baruch Hu said he will not bring water against the entire world, but against a single nation, that he reserved the right to do so. And this was their end, because in the end, Pare and Mitzrayim were destroyed by water, the water of the Kriyas Yamsu, for the splitting of the Sea of the Red Sea. Now, here we have the very beginnings of Moshe Rabbeinu. Actually, the question is asked, why was it that they were able to tell us all of these things, or to tell Pare all of these things? They were very wise. They knew astrology. They knew other such wisdoms. But at the same time, though, they weren't sure if the Goel, if the Redeemer, was going to be from the Hebrews or from the Egyptians. Why were they in doubt over this? So the Maral gives an answer in the Gevuras Hashem. Later on, I found that the late Telza Rosh Yeshiva, Rabbi Yemeya Bloch, who's your side, was this week, says the same answer. Because Moshe was an Ivri when he grew up as an Egyptian. The Torah tells us he was taken by Bas Pare, the daughter of Pare, and he was brought up in the palace of Pare. And even when the daughters of Yisro saw Moshe, he saved them. They said to their father that Ish Mitzri Hitzilono, an Egyptian saved us. So being that he was brought up in the palace of the king as an Egyptian, therefore this they could not see clearly. Say, well, if he's going to be Mi Israel or Mi Mitzray. Then the Torah tells us next. See, here we're coming to his birth. States, now the Torah goes back a bit. It says, Vayilech ish mi beis Levi, Vayikach es bas Levi. A man went from the house of Levi, from the tribe of Levi, and he took a daughter of Levi. The man was Amram, who was the son of Kohath, the son of Levi, and the woman was Yocheved. Yocheved was the daughter of Levi. The Torah does not say their names. Later the Torah tells us who the father and mother were of Moshe. Vatahara Isha, Vatelet Bain, and the woman conceived and she gave birth to the son. Vatereise Ki Tofu, and she saw that he was good. Vatitzpenehu Shleshi Rochim, and they concealed him for 3 months. The Midrash tells us that, let me just find it. It says Vayelech Ish. The man went. Man went and he took. What does it mean? He walked, he went. Omar Rabbi Yehuda bar Zvino Shoholach ba'atzeis bitoy. He went, he walked in the council of his daughter. Amram was really married to Yocheved for a long time, and they had a daughter, Miriam, and they already had a son, Aaron. Miriam was 5 years old and Aaron was 3 years old. Or at least at the time of the birth of Moshe, here at the conception, they were a little younger. And when Pare came out with his decree that all of the midwives should kill all of the children of the Hebrews, so Amram separated himself from Yocheved and said that why should we stay together and have children only to see them be put to death? And Miriam came along and she said that Gzeirosko Koshi Yesem Mishal Pare, your decree is more harsh than Paro's decree, because Pare has only decreed on the Zechorim against the male children, and you are decreeing against the male and the female children. So He listened. He listened to the counsel of his daughter. Tanya Amram Godla Hador Hoyo. Amram was the greatest of the generation. He was the second generation to Shevet Levi, to Levi the son of Yaakov. Yocheved was the first generation. She was a direct daughter of Levi. Vayikach is Bas Levi. Then it states, Hikse Leinemar. Doesn't say he returned her, but it says he took her. And Yikach, the Gemara always says, is a Loshen Likuchin, a terminology for marriage, which means they made a new marriage. They made a new chuppah and a new chasen and a whole simcha. And Miriam and Aaron marakdim lifnehem. And Miriam and Aaron was dancing in front of them. Then the Medrash says that if we make a calculation, Yocheved was very, very old, because we know that they were to remain in Egypt for 210 years. This we have from sources. And Yocheved was born as soon as they came down to Egypt. States that just as they came into the walls of Egypt, Yocheved was born, and Yaakov came. And if she gave birth to Moshe, and they were going to go out of Egypt 80 years later, because the Torah tells us Moshe was 80 and Aaron was 83 at the time that they left, and they remained in Egypt for 210 years, so then there was 130 years between the time that Yocheved was born and she gave birth to Moshe. So she was 130 years old. So they asked the question, 130 years old, and she gave birth. And the Torah calls her Bas, a daughter, which is usually referred to as a young lady. So this was a miracle, a great miracle. Chozru naruseho. Her youth was given back to her in order that she could give birth to Moshe Rabbeinu. And she conceived, she gave birth to Moshe, and Miriam prophesied. Miriam prophesied, and she told her father and mother that you are going to give birth to a Goel, to the Redeemer of Israel. That's why it states a little later that when they put Moshe in the basket, it says, "Vateisatzav achayse mirochek," that she, Miriam, went to watch. She stood by. "Vateisatzav achayse mirochek ledea ma yoseloi," and posuk dalet, to see what is going to happen. So the Medrash tells us that lama onda Miriam mirochek. Why was Miriam there watching? So the simple reason is she was there guarding to see what would happen to Moshe Rabbeinu. This was 3 months later. But Omar of Amram b'shem Rav. Now, lefi shoysam Miriam is Nabas ve'emeres hasidi imi shiteled ben sheyeshia es Yisrael. Miriam kept saying that my mother is going to give birth to a child that will grow up and he will save us all from the Egyptians. Given sheneled Moshe nismale kol habayis ora. When Moshe was born, as we'll see shortly, the whole room was filled with light, and they saw it was someone special. So Noshka Omad Oviha, Vima, Noshka Al Resha. So the father, mother, they came, and they kissed Miriam, and they praised her. Your prophecy seems to be true. Omar Lein Biti Niskaima Nevuasayach. And that's why it says later, by the Kriyas Yamsuf, the splitting of the sea, it says, "Vatikach Miriam Anavia Achos Aren Esatov," that Miriam the prophetess took the musical instruments, and it calls her the sister of Aram. So the question is asked, why is she called the sister of Aram? She was the sister of Aaron and of Moshe. Why only the sister of Aaron? Because when she was the prophetess, when she gave the prophecy, she was the only the sister of Aaron, because Moshe wasn't born yet. She was prophesizing about his birth. She said this just before he was born. But once they had to take Moshe and put him in a basket and put him in the river, and Yocheved felt that she would never see her again. Her mother came to her and said, my daughter, where is your prophecy? What's happening to it? And therefore it's written, she stood by to watch, to see what would happen. Not what's going to happen to the child, but what is going to happen to her prophecy. Now, the question is asked, why did the Torah at this time conceal the names of her father and mother? It says, man went out from the house of Levi, and he took the daughter of Levi. Later on, the Torah tells us who they were. So it's no secret. So why here did the Torah conceal it? The Maral says, this has to do with the Hagdoma, with what we prefaced at the beginning of the Shiur. Moshe Rabbeinu was given a foundation that no other human being was given. He was to become the one who would know HaKadosh Baruch Hu B'Shem HaMiyuchad, through Hashem's entire name, Ponim El Ponim, face to face, the greatest prophet in the world, who would bring the Torah down Mishamayim, and therefore equal to the entire Klal Yisrael. So he wasn't an individual. And therefore, in order that we shouldn't think that he was born to individuals, he was born to Amram, he was born to Yocheved, he was born to very, very great people. But still, they were not the ones that brought his soul into this world. They maybe was the channel, but he could not be limited to parents like anyone else. He was a person that was going to be great enough to encompass all of Klal Yisrael, the entire Torah, which was great enough to encompass the entire world, the Torah. So therefore he was not an Ish Proti. He was an Ish Klali. And therefore the Torah does not tell us what individual at this point he was born to, what individual father or individual mother. Now the question is asked, why was it necessary for his birth to come through such a way? Were they separated? And then there was a lekuchin chadosho. They again remarried, and a miracle took place to Yocheved. Why was this all necessary? Was this part of the divine plan? The Maral writes, absolutely. Because, again, his birth was not just another birth in the world. He came into the world through a koach elyon, through enormous forces beyond this world. And these forces which brought him into the world through Amram and Yocheved were Ikea Hachidush, forces that would create something. And these were the forces that turned Yocheved in from a woman of 130 years old into a young woman again, and a new likuchin, a new marriage, and to bring Moshe Rabbeinu into this world. He did not come merely from his father and mother. Similar to this, the Maral says, by Avram Avinu. Avram was born to Terach and to Terach's wife, Avram's mother. Yet they're not the ones who brought Avraham into the world, because by Avraham it states that he was the Yereshis Abriya. He was the beginning of the world. He was the beginning of the light in the world. The first 2,000 years were 2,000 years of darkness, as we have spoken about many times. He brought a new era into the world where he was the beginning. If he was born merely from Terach and his mother, so then he was not the beginning. They were the beginning, and he came from them. Why was he the Reishis? Why is he considered the Bechor? Reishis Bara Lakim Ze Avraham Bishvil Avraham. And this is why HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Avraham, when he told him, Lech Lecha, go away from your family, from your father, I want you to cut your ties. And Avraham said, how can I leave an old man and go away? It will be a chil Hashem. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu said that Ani peitrecho mikibud av ve'em ve'en ani peiter ish acher. I free you from the obligation of honoring your parents, but I do not free anyone else. Well, this is why. Because they were not his beginning. He was far too great and large for them to be his beginning. He did not come from them. They were perhaps the channel that brought him in, brought the physical channel to bring him into the world, but this was not where he came from. But he was the beginning. In a similar vein, my Rebbe Rav Gifter wrote, perhaps this is why we find that the Imos were Akoris. It's very strange that Sora was barren and Rivka was barren and Rachel was barren, and the Chazal tell us they were so barren that HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to make a great miracle in order to make it possible for them to give birth. And he would say, because if they gave birth merely in the natural way, so then Yitzchak would not be coming necessarily from Avram and Sora, but he would be carrying with him all of the genes of the previous generations, which were all generations of Rishoyim and Evdei Avodah Zorah idolaters. And the same with Rachel, or Rivka. Rivka from her family, and Rachel from Lavan. Therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu made them barren. And then he made a miracle where they could give birth. And now that was a Keah HaChidush. That was a new force which started with them. And therefore, their offspring came from only from them. So this is a similar vein to what we're speaking about here. The Ibn Ezra asks a question. He has difficulty in accepting what Chazal, the sages, say, that Yocheved was 130 years old, because that's a great miracle. Why didn't the Torah mention it? The Torah doesn't even make mention. When Avram and Sora gave birth, and it was already previous generations, and we see as the generations went further, their physical power to give birth diminished. And Avraham and Sora were 100 and she was 90, and there the Torah makes a whole classical case out of it. Here, Yocheved is 130 years old, much later, and nothing is mentioned. Therefore, he has difficulty making peace with what the Chazal say. And the Maral says it's not a kasha. It's not a kasha, not a question. Why? Because we see that when it came to birth, miracles were happening every day here in Egypt. Why did Paro become so afraid? Well, why all of a sudden did he decide that he's going to have to enslave the Hebrews? Let's take a strategy against them, because he saw them growing at such a rapid pace. He foresaw that there's the possibility that they will take over the land. Why were they growing at such a rapid pace? It states by Yirbu, by Atzmu, by Yichesud, by Eid Me'od. They were giving birth 6 at a time, the Chazal say. Some say 12 at a time. And they were multiplying. This is why in such a short span of time they came as a household of 70, and they grew into 600,000 males between the ages of 20 and 60, taking into consideration the women and all of the children and all of the older people. It was a household of millions, and that was only the fifth that went out. So miracles in birth were happening all of the time then. And therefore, it wasn't necessary for the Torah to tell us about this miracle with Yocheved. On the other hand, even though we see that it states merely Vayelech ish mi beis levi Vayikach es bas levi, it does not mention the name of Amram, the father, or Yocheved, the mother, it still nevertheless tells us Vayelech ish mi beis levi, that a man from the house of Levi, from the Shevet of Levi, went out and took a daughter from Levi. It tells us that the parents of Moshe Rabbeinu were from Levi. Why is the Torah telling us that? And this he mentions, he answers. Well, firstly, one answer we can give, the Maral doesn't say this here, but I believe he says it in other places. There was a particular reason why Moshe Rabbeinu was born from Levi. We find Levi was Mekudesh. He was always sanctified. From Levi came all the Levim, and from Levi came the Mishpaches Kahanim. And the Chazal tell us, Me'olam le'omar Levi Aveir Zora. Levi never served Aveir Zora, served idolatry. They were never to become disloyal to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When it came to the golden calf, and Moshe said, "Mi Hashem Elai, whoever is for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, let him come to me." Naspa Elov called Shevet Levi. The entire tribe of Levi went over to him. They had nothing to do with the golden calf. The same thing when it came to the Meraglim, the scouts that spoke Loshon Hora against Eretz Yisrael and didn't want to go in, Levi was not involved. So Levi was always Mekudesh. They were always sanctified. And a foundation for someone like Moshe Rabbeinu had to come from such a Shevet. In particular, we find that Levi was the third son of Yaakov. Reuben, Shimon, Levi. And we find that Moshe was the third offspring of Amram and Yocheved. Was Miriam, Aaron, and Moshe. And the Chazal tell us that there's something special about three. This is the Gemara in Perek Rabbi Kiva Masechet Shabbos, where the Gemara Darshins, we see so many threesomes when it comes to Klal Yisrael and HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the Torah. We see that the Torah has Torah, Nevi'im, and Ksuvim. We see the Torah was given after 3 days of preparation. Prepare yourself for 3 days by Sinai, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give the Torah. We see we have the Gimel Ovis, Avram, Yitzhak, and Yaakov. We see we have the three Goalim, Moshe, Aaron, and Miriam. And we see we have also the Chumash, Mishnah, and Gemara. And in many ways, the Gemara says that we have many threesomes when it comes to Israel. An explanation in this is because three is in the middle. When you have a right side and you have a left side, and then you have the emsoi, the middle point. And the right, any extremity is never kodesh, is never perfect, and is never sanctified. It's the middle point that's always sanctified. But the Rambam brings the Derech Hashem, the way to walk in the way of Hashem, is not to lean to the right, not to lean to the left, but the middle path. Levi was the third son, the third Shevet, and therefore they were prepared to be able to develop into the Shevet, which was Kodesh. But here the Maral adds even a more significant reason. A more significant reason, and a more relevant reason. And that is, Moshe was to become this individual that would go to Har Sinai and be Mekabel Torah. But first he had a more immediate task. And what was that? That task was what HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him, Re'ei Nesaticho Elohim Leparai. I am going to make you as a master, as a lord of the Parai. Klal Yisrael were totally enslaved. They were totally dominated by the tyrant Parai in Egypt. Moshe, his task when HaKadosh Baruch Hu was to appear to him in the first time, in the first instance, at the snare, at the burning bush, was not merely to go speak to Klal Yisrael, and not merely to bring Klal Yisrael out of Egypt, which itself would be an impossible task, because it says Egypt was the type of a land that as one slave never escaped from. And here we're speaking of millions of people. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe, I want you to be my shliach, to be my emissary, to go and destroy Parai and destroy Egypt. Rei Nesaticho Elohim LeParai. You will be his master. And this was almost this is a phenomenon, possibility. So this is who Moshe had to be. The fact is, this was perhaps the greatest achievement of Moshe, that in bringing Torah down to Klal Yisrael. If we look at the end of the Sefer Torah, what does the end tell us? It states, Leikom veleikom novi el b'Yisrael k'Moshe. A prophet never rose up again in Yisrael like Moshe, asher yodei, Hashem ponim el ponim, who knew HaKadosh Baruch Hu in his full name face to face, and all of the wonders and the signs which Hashem sent him to do in Egypt, the Farai against Parai, and against all of his servants, and his all his land, and all of this strong hand and this great fear which Moshe executed, asher osa Moshe leinei kol Yisrael, in the eyes and presence of all Israel. So this was Moshe's, going to be Moshe's immediate task, an enormous achievement. And from there he could bring the nation to Har Sinai as free men. Now, how do we do something like this? You need a free man to do it. You can't have a slave to become a master. A master over the master. You need a free man. The Levim were free men. Le'elom was nishtabed Levi b'Mitzrayim. Levi was never enslaved in Mitzrayim. The Chazal ask, how do we see Moshe and Aaron are going back and forth here and there during this whole episode? Why did they have such freedom of access? Paray, they were a great nuisance in the hair of Paray. Why didn't Paray just throw them in jail? And as it happened, historically, why? This is an old story from Yosef yet. That when Yosef went, and he was the king, and he sold grain to all of the people. And when the money ran out, he sold it to them for their animals. When the animals ran out, he sold it to them for their land. And when their land ran out, he sold it to them for themselves. Yosef became the master over all of Egypt. And he used to move the people from city to city so they should remember that the land was not theirs, but the land was owned by Paray, and they were owned by Paray. But he never enslaved the priests of Egypt, the clergy, because at one time they had done for him a great favor. And since that time there was a tradition that the clergy cannot be enslaved. This was an old edict in Egypt. And therefore, the Levim were like the clergy. They were like the priests of Klal Yisrael. It was hands off. They were free. And Moshe, if he's going to become a master to Paray, he's got to be free. Therefore, he came from Levi. But there's a deeper reason. There's a question. This is why, how it was Nisgago. This is how it historically took place. But what Meir Zocho, what did Levi do? What's chus that the rod of Paray spared them? And this has to do with the first answer that we said, the Kiddush of Levi. But the Mara writes, you can only enslave something from the physical world. Something that's physical, you can be magbil, you can limit, you could hold as captive. But the spirit and the soul, you cannot enslave. That's yours. No one can enslave that. So only physical people become enslaved. And the more physical people are, the more they are enslaved. If the soul and the spirit sinks to the depth of the physical levels, that right there is an enslavement. The spirit becomes enslaved by the physical limitations of the world. The physical world is a world which is limited, which is enslaved. This is why we find that when the sons of Noah went and they committed an act against him, and he cursed the ones that did it, or the one that did it, he gave them a curse of Avodim, that you will become Avodim, slaves. They had sunk into physical depths. And Egypt was really a land which in essence were a land of slaves. They were symbolized as animals. And an animal by nature is a slave to man. Man is his master. So for them to be masters of Israel, was a phenomenon to begin with. And we find that it states that in Parshas Vayechi, when Yaakov died, that's when the tzoras started. Only when he died. Because as long as he was alive, he was far too great for the Egyptians to have any effect over him. And Yosef had to die. And the brothers had to die before the entire enslavement could take place. So therefore the Levi that were always the Shevet that were Kodosh, which means that they had elevated themselves beyond the physical limitations. It was through this they were Zohar, they had merited that the rod of Pare would not be over them. And they had this freedom. Moshe came from this foundation, and from here he grew and grew until Re'ei Nisaticha Elohim LePare, I will make you a master over Pare. Where he led Klal Yisrael not only into freedom, but to destroy Pare in Egypt also, where they became the slaves to them. So this is why that even though the name of his father and mother are concealed, nevertheless, it states that they were both from Levi, from the Shevet of Levi. Then it states in the, it says, Bataro Isha Vatelet Bain, she conceived and she gave birth, Vatera Iseki Tofu. And they saw that, she saw that he was good. What does it mean, she saw that he was good? So the Medrash brings five opinions here. First opinion, the Medrash says, Tani Rameir Eimer Tov Shemal. They saw, she saw he was good and gave him the name Tov. Yeshia Ema Tuvia Shemal. Rabbi Yeshia said, no, his name was Tuvia. Rabbi Yehuda Eimer Hogun the Nevius. Rabbi Yehuda saw, they saw that he could be a prophet. Others say, Shemele Kishu Mohul. He was born circumcised. Rabbanan Amri, the Rabbanan say, that Bishosh Shemele Moshe Nismalei Kolabais Kula Era, that when Moshe was born, the whole house became full of light, as it states here, Tov, and when Hashem created the light, it says, Vayar Elekim Esaor Ki Tov. Concisely, the Maral explains that these are five levels, one higher than the other. That the first opinion, he saw he was good. Now this represents the ultimate goodness. Like when HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, Vayar Elokim es kol asher osu ki tov. He saw that the creation was good. And therefore they named him good. Tov. Second opinion says even more than that. Not only he was given the name Tov, he was given the name Tuvia. What is the difference? Because Tuvia is Tov and Yud Hey. In other words, attached to his name was two letters from HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name. In other words, not only was he good, but they could see in him, foresee in him where he could become elevated to be part of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The third opinion was Hogun Linavua. They saw where from him can come a great prophet. This is a higher level, because Navua, prophecy, is someone who is Zohar to have the Shekhinah with him all of the time, where the Shekhinah is with him and the Shekhinah speaks to him, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence. So there was a greater attachment between Moshe and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Fourth opinion, Meilid Mohu, he was born circumcised. This is a perfection they saw in him, which is alien to this world. Because according to the nature of this world, everyone is born with an imperfection of the Orlo, of being uncircumcised. And from the fact that he was born Mohul, circumcised, this shows that he had a degree in him, an element, not from the Tachtonim, from the lower worlds, but from the upper worlds. And he belonged to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the fifth opinion, which was the opinion of the Rabbonim, this Malekol HaBayis Ora, that the whole house filled with light, this represented the level of Torah and the level of HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself. Dovid HaMelech said, Hashem, the Dovid Hashem Ori, he called Hashem Or, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu calls his Torah Or, because Or represents something which is beyond the physical world, because Or is an element, light is an element which, as far as we can comprehend, it is non-physical, and therefore it represents HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it represents Torah. And the whole house filled with light, they knew this is someone who is miyuchad, someone who is set aside, where he will understand Torah at a level that no one ever understood it, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And then here is a remes, here is a subtle implication to what we started the shiur with, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu said that Va'era el Avram el Yitzchok v'Yaakov b'keil Shakai, I appeared before Avram, Yitzchok, and Yaakov with the names Keil Shakai. But Shmi Hashem, but the name of the Yud Kei Vav Kei, my full name, Leinidati Lohem, I never made known to them. They didn't come to that level. You came to that level. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Moshe Rabbeinu, that was to come to that level. And he could prophesy, Baklaria de Meiro. This was the ultimate in light. And therefore, Nizmale Kol HaBayis Ora, the entire household filled with light. This gives us a few insights in the Psukim and through the Chazal in the beginnings of Moshe Rabbeinu, that to him was to be built the entire Torah and the leadership of Klal Yisrael. Perhaps if the opportunity affords itself next week, perhaps we will continue with this theme. Thank you.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@ygj.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at PO Box 66226, Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.